The following is a quarantine recording presented to you in Around Sound.
It was recorded with whatever was lying around.
Lady don't take no shit, insist on respect the sister, walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying, don't play. The girl take herself so seriously, people stare curiously. She got a natural way, her hips sway furiously, yet luxuriously. Carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest thing you've seen this side of the bay.
Hey, this is Lady Don't Take No's very first bonus episode. We recently had hip-hop historian Davey D on, and we covered everything from pizza to politics. And then we covered even more politics. And then we covered even more politics. The truth is, when we started talking about the upcoming November elections, Davey had so much brilliant insight, one episode could not contain him. Presenting Davey D's History Lesson, Part 2, a.k.a. Receipts. And in case you didn't know, this is required listening. You just inspired me again because I grew up in this era that you're talking about, and I often am wishing for, as we all do, a resurgence of the best of what came before us. I think you've also laid out some really important considerations for us about what could be, right? And so I want to kind of dive into that. So first things first, last week we heard Puffy out here really giving it to folk around the Black vote. And we've talked about how the era of one person, right, as the MC to many MCs is where we are now. But Puffy is actually, it feels like he's making a lot of waves here. I don't want to just talk about Puff, but I really want to talk about what's your take on what he said? And what's your take on kind of the state of politics and the state of Black folks where we're at right now? I know Joe Biden released his Black agenda yesterday, 5 months into the Democratic primary, but here we are. Give me your take. And is there a role for hip hop in this moment?
Well, let's put Puffy in some context. You know, Puffy made noise in 2004 with Vote or Die. I don't know how intentional he was with it, but I was at the Lippert Awards when he stood on stage at a nonprofit event and said, before a very shocked audience, was sitting next to the guy from the LA Times, he goes, "I want George Bush out of office. We need to kick George Bush's ass out of office." And he said that he was going to get 20 million young people to vote for him, to vote him out of office. And then he gave a heartfelt speech about mothers losing their children in the war. And I was like, wow. And so that jumped off with Vote or Die. Now, Vote or Die, for people who don't know, was his organization, but a lot of it also was kind of connected to MTV. Mm-hmm. And so Puff was going to a lot of these places. And I remember when I ran into him and I asked him, I said, "Hey, man, remember what you said about, kicking George Bush's ass out of office?" And he kind of was like, "I'm not going to really get into that." Mm-hmm. And I thought that was weird because he was pretty emphatic when he said it. And the tape disappeared, but somebody gave it to me, so I had it, right? Oh. So I remember what he said. And so you weren't going to gaslight me. Yeah, receipts. But I thought, at the end of the day, 20 million young people did vote. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, the blame was put on young people for not showing up, even though in many ways, if you wanted to attribute Diddy, who comes up at the same time as Russell Simmons's, election thing, which also comes up at the same time as the National Hip Hop Political Convention, mm-hmm. right? Which becomes an important thing that's patterned after the Gary, Indiana 1972 convention, right? Mm-hmm. All these things are happening in 2004. And so I think collectively, those things, we all delivered. And because Diddy was very visible and very popular, you could attribute a lot of young people being excited because of him. Okay. I mention him because the Diddy that I know has an ego, meaning that that can be a good or a bad thing. And the good thing is that he doesn't want to look bad and he doesn't want to lose. Mm-hmm. So if he's like, I'm bringing 20 million people out, there's no way Diddy's going to allow himself to look bad in this situation. Mm-hmm. So he delivers and then he disappears. And Russell Simmons's political organization disappears. And now this is just me and my speculation. Every time I saw them at award shows or anything, I would be like, raise my hand like Diddy. What happened to Vote or Die? Where is it? Why? What happened? Because I felt that he got shut down by the government. I know the IRS came looking for him around that time and, you know, and wanted to pull up receipts. And I know that Russell had some problems. So I felt like they was like, you're not going to do this voting thing. And I mention this because Vote or Die disappears. And you don't really hear too much from Diddy or Russell during the ascension of Barack Obama, which should have been a natural fit. Instead, what you saw with David Banner, you saw Killer Mike, you saw Ludacris, Rick Ross, all those guys stepped up in a really big way to make sure that Obama got elected in 08. I mean, I remember being at the Ozone Awards when they made a commitment, a public commitment, to put on their best. And he said, we're going to make sure us as artists and our followers do not mess up this man's chance. Whatever rivalries we have, whatever beef we have, whatever thing, we're going to keep it down. We're going to make sure this man gets in. And you saw people like Bun B showing up at the conventions, you know, talking about, I'm going to be a kingmaker in terms of the politics and being up on the politics, not just talking, but having like real insight and thoughts. And so I remember seeing all that. And those hip hop artists had a different type of approach. It wasn't about them speaking before the mic, but it was like, how much money do you need to run your campaign? Mm-hmm. Let me write this check. You know, if there was like voter registration things, you know, go back. They was like, I got 1 million followers. I'll send that out on my list feed and make sure that they do that. You know, y'all need some money for this documentary or whatever it is that you're doing. Let me put some money in the kitty. Don't put my name on it, but we're going to do that. So you saw a different type of politic with some of these artists, you know, and I'll just kind of give you an example. You saw it emerge with Katrina when David Banner was doing all that activism and he got shut down. But guess who gave him $250,000? Young Jeezy. Young Jeezy, who was doing My President is Black. Young Jeezy, who got mad at David Banner for telling people that he gave him that money. He's like, I didn't ask for that. So you started to see people move in a different way, which is like, I don't do this politics stuff, but I'll hit it a different way. And so you started to have some of that. And I'm just talking right now about popular artists, because I think when you go to grassroots artists, it's a whole different ballgame. They're married to movements. They have certain type of values. They're accountable and they can speak to issues. But to the degree of them being popular culture and kind of allowing a space for political expression and political movement, I think is something that years from now we'll start to realize and can maybe appreciate because they didn't stand in the way. They didn't step up. So to come back to Puffy, I hear what Puffy's saying. And on paper, I don't disagree with that. You know, you should demand some sort of accountability. What I do question is his timing, because he was quiet up until now. You know, like, what made you come out now to say that? So I'm going to think for a moment that maybe there's some intentionality behind the scenes. Like, yo, Biden ain't really saying nothing about Black folks. Somebody need to go ring the alarm. And maybe Diddy did it for that reason. I would hate to think that he did it to grandstand. I think he's old enough, and I think he has enough assets, you know, like his Revolt TV and other things like that, that I just can't see him doing that just to kind of be like, it's all about me. I think it was like, let me be a mouthpiece in a very different way. And maybe he was thinking that Biden is leaning towards getting Amy Klobuchar.
You know? So what you're telling me is hip hop is not dead.
No, I don't. But I'm not going to put that on hip hop, because I don't think that's a hip hop move. I think it's a 50-year-old man.
No, I understand.
You know, doing what a 50-year-old man should do. who has visibility maybe speak to the issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not the way that I want them to speak to the issue. I'm going to look at hip hop in terms of how people use culture mm-hmm. and how they're using culture as a form of communication, how they're using it as a way to bring people together, the fights that they're doing around that to raise issue. That's where I think that's going to come in a little bit more.
Fair enough.
Amy Klobuchar, who might be able to appeal to those Rust Belt voters who oftentimes are very, you know, racially hostile towards us. And they're looking like, can we get her crowd? And by the way, that was the crowd that Hillary tried to get, and she got her ass handed to her. She tried to get them in Pennsylvania.
Well, correct.
And when you pull back, when you pull back the sheets, let's look at what she did, right? In 2012 and 2008, there were certain people and certain moves that Obama made that allowed him to win a place like Pennsylvania. So I know because I was the one who actually got a call and gave sound bites, snippets, vignettes that were used on some of those urban stations in Pennsylvania. Not from the, you know, I got the call from those stations. Mm. So they were doing things like that. Like, you know, like this is going to be history. We're going to use these Obama snippets. We're going to do this. They were tapping on to people, say, you know what your summer job's going to be? This is people in Allegheny County, Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Your job is going to be to register people to vote.
Right.
Oh, okay. So you had that. And they were tapping into people like Kahari Mosley, who was a hip hop artist who actually held office. You know, mm-hmm. that's somebody you want to talk to. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was part of the National Hip Hop Political Convention. You had that sort of activity, right? A lot of people were empowered. 2016, you hold your convention in Philadelphia, which is a major place that you need, which means like, okay, you should be able to win this state. You're holding the Democratic National Convention in Pennsylvania. And when you peel back the things, and I could give you the receipts. You could talk to Kahari Mosley. Go, man, Hillary's people never talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Talk to Jasiri and those people. They never asked those people to do summer jobs again.
Mm-hmm.
So she had $1 billion. Where did it go? Oh, she was trying to go into the middle of the state
mm-hmm.
and win those white voters. And when you look at that map, you saw that those white voters that went for Obama went for Trump mm-hmm. in 2016. Mm-hmm. So then you kick it back and go, oh, the black vote didn't show up. So that's why they lost. First, they tried to blame it on Jill Stein. And you're like, Jill Stein only had like 1,000 votes.
Period.
And right. And yeah. And the other guy that was running,
Gary Johnson,
who in theory, if you follow the Jill Stein motive and say she's a liberal, she's to the left, that means she took votes away from Hillary. Gary Johnson had like 3 or 4 times the votes mm-hmm. and he's conservative, which means that it might have been more of a blowout if he hadn't been in there. But let's put that aside for a minute. So you didn't tap the same team of people that brought out folks mm-hmm. in 2016 in Pennsylvania. There's a woman named Angela Woodson who delivers it in 2008 and 2012 in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We had her on the air 2 weeks out, and she was like, Dave, she's going to lose by 200,000 votes. Mm-hmm. Didn't use her to the last minute and then didn't use her correctly mm-hmm. when she was the one that knew. She was the one that had the bikers
yep.
and everything. Like, if you went there, she was the one that had the Rough Riders and yep. everybody doing it. When I went to Ohio, I seen, like, these Hells Angel types. I went to Hells Angels, but white bikers riding around. Like, they took a page out of her paybook, and it's like, well, where's your bikers? Say Hillary didn't use us.
Mm-hmm.
So who's Hillary going for? She's going after white soccer moms and moderate Republicans. Now you got two people saying the same thing. Go to Wisconsin. You could talk to Biko Baker.
Yep.
Biko's bringing out record numbers of people, black voters in Milwaukee. He's heading up League of Young Voters, right? He is doing it. He's sharp.
Yep.
He has connections on the hip-hop side. His partner, you know, they're good friends with Snoop, so they can bring out folks, right? Didn't use them.
No.
How do you not use somebody like that? So what? And then she doesn't really go to Wisconsin. And you have a state that is depressing the vote. So that loses out. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Michigan, and, you know, I think Michael Moore shows you the anger that existed in Michigan, in particular Flint. And so you could just watch 9/11 Fahrenheit, and you could see for yourself, because I think he brings it out brilliantly. But I say all this to say that you had people not being tapped. Pull up the headlines around 2012. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, people stood online for 6-7 hours to vote for Barack Obama.
Yep.
Angela told me, she told Obama, like, hey, people are kind of disappointed in you because you're not really delivering stuff. She told him to his face. Mm-hmm. But they're going to vote for you because, you know, like, this is going to be a way to put a stick in the eye of all these Tea Party folks. Because remember, the Tea Party people were around,
that's right?
Right?
They were wild.
So this was a way to be like, nah, we're going to shut it down.
Right.
But ask yourself this. Those people that stood online for 6-7 hours, those people that did rap songs, like, the you know, that for Obama, the Bun Bees who were showing up at conventions, politically astute and committed to making things happen. The Ludacris's, the Rick Ross's, all those people that I saw that was like, we will go out there and make history together. You think they was going to do that in 2016? Mm-hmm. Were you going to stand online for 6 hours in Ohio in a voter suppressed state to vote for her? You know, they were like, well, they should have. But how did she engage them? And in theory, you're sitting there going, look, we did it for Black folks. We did it for this family. So I know women is going to do that. And you didn't see the same return. You didn't see, like, you know what, sisters, we're going to stand out here and we're going to stand in this line for 6 hours and we're going to make sure we vote. You didn't see that. So the question that I would always ask is why? Mm-hmm. Biden in 2020 has now the similar situation that Hillary had in 2016. Are you going to get those people that stood online for 6 hours to vote for you? And what you have to weigh is Trump has been such a monster that they'll stay online for 6 hours mm-hmm. just to get rid of them, which means that we can free up money and effort to go after those soccer moms and let them know that we got their back too. And what they're hoping is that Black folks are going to be so scared and so angry with Trump that even if he goes, I'm going to put Amy on the ticket, we'll go for it anyway. And you're starting to see some of his people float that out like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a woman of color or not. It just, you know, as long as he's winning, you know, they're trying to kind of let you know that this man is about to maybe betray us.
Listen, what did I tell you? This is like a CVS receipt. Thank goodness for our historians. We have been saying this forever, but there is a strategy for winning in November. And what's happening right now, it just ain't it. Winning elections requires firing up your base, and it also requires following your base and investing in your base. And there is no stronger base for the Democratic Party than Black voters. So here we're left with the question. If the Democratic Party needs to win in November and the Biden campaign wants to win in November, well, what's going on with Black engagement? Who is opening campaign offices in the hood? Who is employing the people who our communities trust to engage our vote and turn out our vote? Who is developing an agenda that our communities can count on? We asked you last week what y'all thought about Biden's Lift Every Voice agenda, and we're asking again this week. Sound off on our Facebook page. I'm just going to leave you with one more bit of information. Black women in particular are the strongest base of the Democratic Party, with Black men not far behind. That is, until now. According to the Center for American Progress, 75% of Black women cast their vote for the Democratic nominee on Election Day in 2008. That's when Obama was running for his first term. In 2012, that number was 74%. And then in 2016, that number dropped to just 66%, a nearly 10% decrease in the number of Black women who were eligible to vote who actually did vote. In 2008, 95% of Black men who voted for the Democratic nominee, as compared to 95% of Black women. And in 2012, 87% of Black men who voted for the Democratic nominee, as compared to 96% of Black women. In 2016, 80% of Black men voted for the Democratic nominee, as compared to 94% of Black women. So that's a lot of numbers. And let me just break it down even more simply. The numbers of Black men who vote for the Democratic nominee has decreased by 15% over the last three election cycles. And it's not because Black men aren't voting. It's because Black men are beginning to vote in higher numbers for the Republican nominee. Why is that? This is the question that the party should be asking and the campaign should be asking. Just know this. During the president's State of the Union speech this year, it might be safe to say that he spent more time speaking directly to what Black communities care about than the Democratic Party has over the last 4 years. So ask yourselves this. What will the impacts of that be in November? Do we even want to find out? Thanks for checking out our bonus episode. We release a new Lady Don't Take No every Friday morning to accompany you where you used to have a commute. Please connect with us and tell us what's on your mind, what you like, and what you just ain't gonna do. On Twitter, we're at Lady Take. On Insta, we're at Lady Don't Take No Pod. We're also on Facebook. Find us, Lady Don't Take No Podcast by Alicia Garza. We post ways to do something about the things that you hear on this show all over our social media. So if we got you amped up today, check out the socials to find out how you can take action. Please subscribe and write us a review and let the people know what you've heard here today. Our producer is Phil Circus. Our incredible theme is by Latyrix. This pod is supported by the Black Futures Lab. And I'm your host, Alicia Garza. Remember, elections matter. Black voters are not a monolith, and there is still time to save the world. But if y'all gonna keep asking Black folks to do it, you've gotta put something on the table, because this is just getting ridiculous. That's right, I said it, because Lady Don't Take No.
Lady don't take no, she insists on respect the sister, walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worse, saying don't play. The girl take herself so serious, man. People stare curious, man. She got a natural way, her hips sway furious, man. Yeah, the luxurious, man.
Love y'all. Like